Do all places dochen daily in Israel? Is
it, what?
To most.
Yeah, everyone dochens. Yeah. Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We are on Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph in Maseches Sukkah. And a little bit, we're continuing a discussion that was started in the previous Mishnah, where the Gemara discussed, because we'll just look at it for a second, because we're going to return to it. The Mishnah says, Misachachin b'nisarim on Yudalad Amud Aleph, machlokes tin Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, whether or not you're allowed to use boards as schach for the sukkah, right? Mm-hmm. Because on one hand, these boards are gidulo mina aretz. They should be, they don't have a base kibul. They're not a kabel tuma. Like, why wouldn't we be allowed to use these boards? So just put up boards, whatever they're called, 2x4s, 3x6s, 8x9s. I don't know exactly what they're called, but everybody around sukkahs refers to these measurements with a large degree of confidence. So, you know, I'll get these shilas. I put them up my 2x4s, none of them are 3x6s, you know, what do I do with mine? I don't know what you're saying. So, anyway, but I just call them beams. But you put up boards, so that would be great. Then we'd have a sukkah. It would be less susceptible to the elements and rain. So the Mishnah and Machlokas, if such a thing is acceptable. And basically, this machlokas has to do with whether or not we have this gzeira called gzeiras tikra. Gzeiras tikra means that we don't want the sukkah to look and feel so much like a regular home because it's supposed to be a diras aroi. And at a certain point, when you put up a roof that is substantial enough, it begins to attain an identity a little bit more of a diras keva. So this Mishnah, as we're going to see, even though as we first introduce it, it seems to be a new Mishnah, we'll see that ultimately the way the Gemara is going to interpret this Mishnah, it's actually somewhat of a continuation of the previous Mishnah. So the Mishnah says the following, Tikra she'en alea maziva. So we're talking about a roof or boards, beams, that Rashi says that are arba amos, those are stam tikras or arba amos, and they do not have plaster, right? Once you put plaster in the beams, then everyone agrees, like, you've built a roof, right? This is not a sukkah anymore. But we're dealing with beams that were kind of positioned alongside each other. There's no plaster to sort of fill in and connect them. So what's the din? So the din is, this is a problematic sukkah. And the question is, how could we essentially deal with such a sukkah, transform such a sukkah to be less of a problem? So the Mishnah says the following, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that we have a machlokas here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, mefakfek v'notel achas mibinatayim. That you have to do two things. You have to be mefakfek, which means you have to adjust or lift the boards. Machlokas rishonim. Do you have to lift them up and put them down? Do you have to just remove the nails from the boards? But you have to do something to shift the boards around. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, and Beis Hillel says, Vinotel Achas Mibenatayim, and you also have to go ahead and remove one and replace it with real kosher schach as well. Actually, every other one you have to replace with real kosher schach. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, no, you have a choice. Mifakfek O Notel Achas Mibenatayim. You could either go ahead and be Mifakfek. You could adjust them, or you could choose to go ahead and remove one. And we'll get to in the Gemara in a minute why these tikkunim work. Rabbi Meir Omer, so Rabbi Meir, in response to Rabbi Yehuda's presentation of this machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, just makes a declarative statement. And that statement is, Notel achas beinatayim ve'eno mifakfek. So we have Beis Shammai, who says you could either adjust or replace. We have Beis Hillel, we have Beis Shammai who says you have to adjust and replace. We have Beis Hillel who says you could either adjust or replace. And we have Rabbi Meir who seems to say you can only replace. An adjustment is not good enough. Okay, so the Gemara wants to understand what in the world are all the svaras? What are we trying to accomplish here? So the Gemara says, Bishlam Beis Hillel, I understand the shita of Beis Hillel, that you could be mefakfek notel achas bin a time. You could do one or the other. Because what's the issue here? The issue is what we call tase velo mina osoy. And we've seen this din. Tase velo mina osoy means that if you have schach that essentially is going to be considered kosher, but the schach is essentially sitting there from a previous usage, in order to be able to now transition its presence as being one of significance relative to serving as schach for the sukkah, a new action has to be made. Ta'aseh, the sukkah has to be made, v'lo mina osui, and not from something which was made on its own. Not something that just becomes an issue on its, a sukkah on its own. Here you put these boards up, not to make a sukkah, to make a very, to make a significant roof. And now you want to make it a sukkah? So you want to make it a sukkah for sukkahs? Okay. So then if you want to make it a sukkah for sukkahs, you have to do something. You have to be mechadish bo davar. The Sifrei Chassidim write that tas v'lo mina asui is really about the fact that we can't just rely on that which comes from the past. We have to always be mechadish bo davar. There's a certain contribution that needs to be made in Avodas Hashem that comes from the innovation and contribution of an individual, where they stand, where they are. And sukkahs, which is really a chag about emunah, that's the whole point of the sukkah, the concept of emunah and ashkacha, it's not enough to have a yerusha of what it means to believe in God. Taseh, v'lo mina asoy, you have to construct a sukkah. You have to play an active role in creating this space of appreciation of for the providence of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So says Beis Hillel, the main issue we are contending with here is the issue of tasev alomina osui. That's the psul. And so therefore, e mefachfek avid le maisa, e notel achas mibenatayim avid le maisa. Therefore, if we move one of the boards, we're doing something. If we replace the boards with other schach, we're doing something. These actions essentially recreate the sukkah that's in front of us into a kosher sukkah. Okay. Ela Beis Shammai, but according to Beis Shammai, right? Mai tamayu. So Beis Shammai, who said that you have to do both. Imishum tasev alomina asoy. If the issue is tasev alomina asoy, bechada sagi. So then it should be enough to just do one of these. Why do you have to go ahead and move around the schach and replace part of the schach? So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's not because of tasev mina asui. Maybe what Beis Shammai is concerned about is something else entirely. Imishum gzeres tikra. Maybe Beis Shammai is worried about our famous gzeres tikra. He's not worried about tasev mina asui. He's concerned that this looks too much like a house, like a real roof. So, binotel achas mi binatayim sagi. So, says the Gemara, well, if that's the case, then I understand why he doesn't think necessarily mefakfake's enough, because mefakfake is you're just moving them around a little bit, but you're left with your very permanent-looking roof. But if you, so therefore, I understand why that's not acceptable. But the second option, the option where you actually replace some of the beams with kosher schach, that should solve the problem of gzeres tikra. Now it doesn't look like a real roof. So Beis Shammai Shita still doesn't make sense. So the Gemara at this point can only conceive of two possible reasons why we're posseling this roof to be used as a sukkah. And according to one of them, we could understand Beis Hillel's Shita, but according to the other one, we can't understand... By the way, it's possible at this stage of the Gemara that the Beis Hillel is worried about both possibilities. But the fact that he's worried, the fact that he'll allow mifakfeik sounds like his concern is tasev alo mina asoy. It has nothing to do with gzeres tikra. He's not worried about gzeres tikra. And that's why he'll allow you to be mifakfeik in order to solve this problem. But Beis Shammai, it sounds like he requires you to be mifakfeik. So what is a potential problem that would go ahead and require both? So says the Gemara, La'ola mishum gzeres tikra. So the Gemara says, it must be, the only way to understand this Mishnah is somewhat of a continuum of the previous Mishnah, and the issue under discussion is gzeres tikra. How do we relate to this very peculiar roof? The Hachi Kamri, and this is what the Gemara, the Mishnah is trying to say. This is the Shita of Beis Shammai. Af alpi shemifakfake. What Beishamai meant to say was, even though you're mifakfake, not oh, not vinotelachas, but even though you're mefakfek, inotelachas mi ben time in, if you remove one and you replace it with kosher schach, then it works. Ilo lo, but if you don't, then it doesn't work. So Beis Shammai is telling you that pikpuk is not enough on its own, but it is enough if it's accompanied by the requirement of the other one, of replacing it. So the Gemara says, well, there's a problem with that, because now you're saying that Beis Shammai's shita is that mefakfek's not enough, that you require replacement. Well, that may not be Reis Hillel's shita, but whose shita is it? It's Rabbi Meir's shita. That's exactly what Rabbi Meir said. So Yachi, Eima Seifa, Rabbi Meir Omer, no tal achas mi bin atayim, aval lo yifakfek. Rabbi Meir, hainu Beis Shammai. It sounds now like Rabbi Meir is actually the shita of Beis Shammai. What in the world is the difference between the two? So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar." This is what we really mean to say, "Hachi kamar." Lo nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'davar zeh. That actually, Rabbi Meir is telling you an entirely different statement. What is Rabbi Meir telling you in this Mishnah? We have the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel according to Rabbi Yehuda. Right? And that machlokas is mefakfek enough or not? According to Beis Shammai, it's not enough. It also requires at least a replacement. According to Beis Hillel, it's one or the other, because Beis Hillel is only worried about Tasa Volomina Asui. Comes along Rabbi Meir, and he says, I disagree with you, Rabbi Yehuda. I don't think that there is a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel with regards to this issue at all. So basically, Beis Hillel is machmir. So my kamash malon. So what does it sound like? That what's the machlokas? So now that we've reinterpreted the Mishnah, or now that we've re-understood the Mishnah, that's the machlokas here. So it really sounds like, basically, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that there is a shita in Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that there's a shita in Beis Hillel that's not worried about Gezeiras Tikra. And Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that there is a shita in Beis Hillel that is worried about Gezeiras Tikra. Right? That's why Rabbi Meir says that Beis Hillel doesn't have this kula that you don't need to do, Beis Hillel doesn't have this kula that pikpuk works on its own. He was never makel like this. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the machlokas, and we're obviously working somewhat within the Shita Beis Hillel also, if that's the machlokas that Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about Gezeiras Tikra, and therefore he leaves space for Beis Hillel to have his Shita, and Rabbi Meir is worried about Gezeiras Tikra, then my kamash malon, what are you teaching us? The Rabbi Meir is like Gezeiras Tikra, Rabbi Yehuda less like Gezeiras Tikra. That Rabbi Meir holds Gezeiras Tikra and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't. We already have this machlokas. We know this machlokas already. What's the chiddush here? So the Gemara says, Zimnin, because we already learned this. Ditzna, we learned in the Mishnah. Mechsachachin b'nissarim. If you try to do schach with these boards. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no gzeiras tikra. Rabbi Meir oser. And Rabbi Meir says it's prohibited. So we already have this machlokas in a previous Mishnah. That previous Mishnah, from this point forward, will be referred to as the Reisha, as the beginning of our introduction to this debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar Rabbi Chiya Barabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Chiya Barabba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, no, that machlokas is not about the same scenario as our machlokas. And the debate in the Reisha does not necessarily indicate or imply that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir would have the identical debate in the Seifa, in our case of our Mishnah, but they do, and that's why our Seifa had to explicate such a debate. Why? What's the Reisha discussing? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Reisha benisarim mishufin askinon. The Reisha is talking about smoothed out boards, and it had nothing to do with Gzeiras Tikra. It has to do with something else entirely. Umishum gzeiras kelim naguba. the fact that these smoothed out boards look already like a vessel. They begin, they're not actually a vessel. They don't have a base kibbul, but it's already looking like a vessel. There's a difference between the 6x4 that you buy in Home Depot, which is, you know, it's sat outside, it's got that red stuff at the end, it's, you know, it's like builder material, right? And I would not say that that looks like a kli. I would not say, oh, he's using that piece of wood. It must be you could use kalim that are makabel tuma to build a sukkah. But if I used, I don't know, molding, or if I used, you know, wood beams that are like that were like really, you know, flooring, like things that were this piece of, if this is wood, you know, like this is formica. All right, so you know, something that looks already. It's smoothed out, it's sanded down, it's nice. You know, like when you went to camp and you sat there for hours like this and they made you think that you were sanding and then you left and then with the machine, the guy sanded the, right? So says the Gemara, so that's a different story. So there we have machlokas. Are we worried that it looks too much like a kli and therefore we'll make a gzera and say you cannot use such an item for schach? I mean, nothing to do with tikra. It doesn't look like a roof. Right? Or are we not gozer? And that was the machlokas in the Reisha. But the machlokas in our Gemara, in our Mishnah, is an actual roof that has these builder boards. And as a result, we have a machlokas. Are we gozer a gzeres tikra or are we not? Rabbi Meir holds that we are gozer gzeres tikra. So he holds in our scenario, Beis Hillel would not permit pikpuk as one of the options. Because that only solves tasav alomina asui, not gzeres tikra. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that we do not have such a gzera, right? Okay, so says the Gemara. Vile Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav sochacha bechitzin. Now the Gemara is going to try to poke a hole in this. The Gemara says, and we saw this actually. I think we did this stuff together. You try to use these arrows for schach. So zecharim ksherab in kevos psula. If the nature of the construct of the arrow is that there's a protrusion, so there's no base kibul, they're kosher. But if the nature of this arrow stick is such that it's the actual hole that the protrusion of the arrow goes into, a female construct, that is possible because it has a base kibul, it has a containing element, and that makes it a kli. V'lo gazar zcharim atu nekevos. And we don't make such a gzeira. We don't say you're not allowed to use the zcharim that look like a kli, just because you might come to use the nekevos, which are a kli. The hachanami, here also, lo nigzar nesarim meshufim atu kelim. And that kind of undermines, according to Rabbi Yehuda Merav, that kind of undermines our ability to set up the resha as a machlokes about a totally different gzera, this gzeras kalim. Because we see that, we don't make this gzera. So, ela al karchach resha pligi b'gzeras tikra, v'sevi pligi b'gzeras tikra. So says the Gemara, it must be that they're both arguing about gzeras tikra. Va pligi b'tarti zimni lameli. So why do I have to have two machlokes, two mishnayas, telling me the same machlokes. So here's where the Gemara seems to say that one is really just an expansion of the other. Seifa, in the Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda de Ka'amar Leila Rabbi Meir, it's Rabbi Yehuda talking to Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying to Rabbi Meir, we just got done with this whole discussion, is there a gzera of tikra or not? And you insisted that there is. So amai ka asarta b'nisarim mishum gzeres tikra. How could you aser with the nisarim because of gzeres tikra? Hai svara lebe shamai hu de islahu. That svara follows the thinking of Beis Shammai. And that is why we lead to this. And how do I know that? Because I have a tradition that pikpuk solves the problem of tikra. Solves this problem. But it doesn't follow the tradition of Beis Hillel, who we should be following. Because Beis Hillel allows us to solve this problem with one or the other, with pikpuk, which doesn't, so says the Gemara, Beis Hillel lo gazri. Beis Hillel doesn't have this gzera. Beis Hillel is only dealing with the question of tasa v'lo mina asui. The Amar Rabbi Meir lo nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'davar zeh. And that's Rabbi Meir's response that I don't have such a tradition that they have this machlokas. So hinicha l'rav, that works according to Rav, the Amar machlokas b'shiyesh b'en arba. That works according to Rav, this whole analysis, this whole approach, because he holds that the machlokas is only when the boards are at least four tefachim wide. Rabbi Meir is like Gzeres Tikra, that Rabbi Meir holds of the Gzeres Tikra, Rabbi Yehuda less like Gzeres Tikra. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of the Gzeres Tikra. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of the Gzeres Tikra. And so therefore, we solve this problem with Beis Hillel either way. Rabbi Meir does hold of the Gzeres Tikra, so it doesn't work to solve this problem either way. That's why he says they don't argue about this. El Shmuel, but there is another opinion. And that's the opinion of Shmuel. To Amar b'she'ein bahen arba'a machlokas. That there's a machlokas even less than four tfachim wide. Aval yesh bahen arba'a divrei akol psula. That the machlokas is only when they're more narrow. But if it's four tfachim wide, then everyone would agree there's a gzeres tikra. Well, if everyone would agree there's a gzeres tikra, then how did, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Hillel solve this problem with pikpuk? So says the Gemara, seifa b'mai pligi. So the Gemara says, no, you don't understand. The seifa is actually introducing a different machlokas. Bibitule tikra kumiflugi. See, in the Reisha, we were discussing the parameters of the gzeres tikra itself. And that's if you're building a sukkah at the outset, Rashi explains, right? You're building the sukkah. So when you're building the sukkah, it's looking a lot like this is the standard of what's required. That's, we're worried that this is a gzeres tikra, so we don't introduce pikbuk as a possibility. But the question is, once the sukkah's up, how do we kind of, nullify this identity of the sukkah? And that's the discussion. Marsavar butla bahachi, marsavar bahachi lo butla. That we have a machlokas tanoim, I guess within the shita Beis Hillel, within the shita machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Once you have, so everybody would agree, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, that there's a gzeres tikra, generally speaking, on boards of four amos, which these are, as Rashi explains in the very beginning. I'm sorry, tefachim. Boards of four tefachim. Everyone would agree that's true. So if there's a gzeres tikra, how did Rabbi Yehuda allow Beis Hillel to work with pikbuk, which does not solve the problem of tikra? Pikbuk is where you just lift it up, right? Because it's still going to look like a sukkah. So the answer is you could be mevatel the shame with a different standard than what you would build it with. And so therefore, that's what Rashi writes. Bitula tikra. Klama amel chashmol ha'olam b'shiyesh b'ayin arba. V'lo ha'izakan tikra mitchila v'achshav u'bo l'sachich b'u l'shem sukkah. Afil Rabbi Yehuda pasal. Even Rabbi Yehuda would say that's pasal. T'gazrina mishum tikra. Sh'lo yavo v'yeshiv tachas karos beisel. You shouldn't come to sit under your actual roof. V'yomer mali zeh mali chadash. What do I care? This looks exactly like my sukkah outside. Aval hashad izu tikra. Now that it's already a tikra, ha'isa ubali de ma'isa lasos l'shem sukkah, v'zeh muchach shiyodeya sh'amra Torah tasav alo mina asui. So as long as we could solve the problem of tasav alo mina asui, I can make a declarative statement through pikpuk that I no longer relate to this as a real roof. Because this you don't do to your house, right? Walk up to the boards of the roof and once in a while move them back and forth. So it's a little bit, I don't know, for me, as I was learning through this, almost feels like there's a little bit of a shift in what the nature of this gzera is, right? I thought at the beginning gzera's tikra was more like the sukkah itself, like it did in the sukkah. The sukkah shouldn't carry this identity that approximates the look of a home. Now it sounds like it's more a din in the person whose sukkah it is, right? In other words, like if you build the sukkah like this, or if you leave the sukkah like this, so you could come to confuse this with a actual thing. But in the process of your tasav alomina asui, in your mechadish bodavar, if you do something that you would never ever do to a regular roof, so now you've already established that klape this sukkah, you're not relating to it as a real sukkah. So again, only according to Beis Hillel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd be allowed to use that as a way out, which itself is just an interesting conceptual shift. And it speaks to, I remember when we learned sukkah with Rabbi Rosenzweig in 1997, he spoke a lot about the relationship between a person and their sukkah. How much is there a lachem in sukkah? We know there's lachem in dalet minim. How much is lachem in sukkah? And he had like lots of rayas that even though we generally, there might not be a din of lachem, there are aspects of the sukkah that relate to the individual. And some of them have to do with the Gemara that says you have to bring all your kelim out. We'll hit that more in the next parak, mm-hmm. Right? You have to bring all your kelim out. You have to create an experience in the sukkah that's parallel to certain things you're not allowed to do in the sukkah, the chiyuv shena in the sukkah. Anyway, this might be an extension of that. You know, you're sort of on the other end. You're creating a clear statement that you're not relating to this sukkah as it's an interesting, right? It's an interesting conclusion. Anyway, the Mishnah then continues. Hamikra sukaso bishvodim, o barochos hamita. So I printed out, I don't know if you guys have this sefer, there's a great sefer that they came out with pictures from Masechta Sukkah. It's in Hebrew, but for situations like this, it's very good because sometimes it's hard for us to visualize. But basically, the Mishnah is talking about using bedposts. So what does it mean to use a bedpost? So the picture kind of describes, you have the two posts, and then you have the board that goes across, and you have it for the length of the bed, and you have it for the width of the bed, okay? So you take those posts. So you're sitting in your house, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have no schach. What could I use here for schach? What kind of wood do I have in my house? You're looking around, and you see your bed. Your bed has a lot of wood, so great. So you'll pop the pieces off the bed. You'll throw them on top of the sukkah. When sukkah is over, you'll put the bed back together and shalom Yisrael, everything will be wonderful. So the Mishnah says, if you try to use either shvodin, right, which are more rods, like metal rods, spits really, or baruchos amita, or the boards of a bed, im yesh rivuach beineihem kemosam kesheru. So the Mishnah says, so sitting on top of your sukkah are these items, which are not really kosher for schach. So the Mishnah says, as long as there's kosher schach also up there, if the amount of kosher schach is equal to the amount of pasul schach, then the sukkah will be kosher. We're not going to get into right now, can you sit under the pasul schach? That's a separate discussion. But in terms of the construct of the sukkah, that would make the sukkah kosher. That hachotet begadish lasas lo sukkah, ain't a sukkah. This we saw also before. If you burrow out of a gadish, of like a haystack, a place to sit, and you create some schach, so says the Mishnah, that's not a sukkah, that's a tasav alo min asu yeshu, which we'll get to later. So anyway, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says the following. Lema tiyu tiyufta de Rav Huna brei de Rabbi Yoshua. Says this notion that I could have half my roof of my sukkah be acceptable and half be unacceptable, this might be a big kasha on Rav Huna brei de Rabbi Yoshua. De itmar parutz ke'amud. So let's say a person has parutz ke'amud. So Rashi says, le'inyam mechitzos shabbos itmar. So it's a little bit of a misnomer, right? Do you require to create a mechitza in Hilcha Shabbos, a wall, for the purpose of Hotzah, right? Do you require there to be a total filling of wall, or can there be breaks in the wall, right? Like anything. Let's say, you know, your yard is surrounded by walls and by fences with all its lovewood, but there are a few breaks in the different, so says the, so basically the din is, you can't have more breaks than wall. Can't have more breaks than wall. What if you have parutz ke'omed? you have exactly the amount of breaks as you have wall. So Rapapa Omar Mutter, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yoshua Omar Aser. Right? Rav Yehuda Ben Yeshua says it's Aser. So it sounds like when you have a requirement to be able to construct the presence of an item, and you have half the environment where the item is present and half where it isn't, that we consider, so if Rove is appropriate, Rove in the Mechitza or Rove in the Schach, we assume that's great. But what if it's half and half? What if it's half and half? So it sounds like by Mechitza's Shabbos, the opinion of Rav Huna Brei Rav Yoshua is that it's Aser. Well, that's interesting, because it sounds like in our Mishnah that this is 100% okay. So Amar Lecha Rav Huna Brei Rav Yoshua, my kamosan, benichnas v'yotze, says, no, our Mishnah did not mean that there's an equal amount. What our Mishnah meant was that there is enough space that the schach can be inserted back and forth, says Rashi, Shiei psal harochav kamosan yochol yikanes v'liyotze berveach shebeinatayim dahashta avale pasal shenosein sham miruba al hashfudim va'abir yoser al hashfudim. In other words, it didn't mean that there's actually 50% of spitz and 50% schach. It meant that there is enough space between the spitz that the schach can be able to sit there. But by definition, for it to be able to be brought in and out, there would have to be a little more space, because you can't fit something exactly, right? Exactly. So therefore, the revach would have to be a little bit more, and therefore, it's not a stira.
So what would be the finish then of the Mishnah?
So we'll get to that, right? Because then basically it's a rove.
Right, exactly.
So, right, so we'll get to that.
It's
right.
A rove of space.
Maybe it's a row, but that also is a discussion. Exactly, because there could be space in between your schach also. So it's, but at least in the way the sukkah is constructed now, the assumption is that the schach is the minority. The schach is the majority, slightly, very slightly, only functionally. So maybe that's the chiddush. What's called a majority? Is it actually measured just in geometric, space? Is there other ways to think about it? As you can see, there are some tosis in here, which we're not going to get to. So v'efshar letzamtzem. So the Gemara says, well, this is a general machlokas throughout Shas. Do we assume that it's possible to be exact and discerning on measurements in general, right? So the Gemara says, "Efshar litzamtzem." So, it is possible, says Rashi, it could be that they were exact, in terms of the different spaces. Amar Rav Ami, Mima Adif, they expanded it a little bit. It was more schach than shvot. So Rava Amar Afilu Temi B'She'en Ma'adif Im Ayin Nesunim Shasi Nosdin Arev Arev Nosdin Shasi. Now we have a different answer. The other answer is no. This problem is not solved by reinterpreting the Mishnah as how much space was left for the schach, but rather what the Mishnah meant was that it's like the way we build our sukkahs now, right? You have beams going across, and then schach usually goes perpendicular to the beams. So it didn't mean to say Shvod, schach, shvod, schach, shvod, schach, parallel to each other. It meant there are shvodim underneath, a lot of them, and there's schach going in this direction. And at the end of the day, the assumption is that you have more schach than shvod, and the chiddush is that you could use these items to hold up the schach, which we'll see is a whole another discussion of maimed. So, Oba Ruchos Amita. So then the Mishnah said that you could also use these pieces of the headboards of the frame of the bed. So the Gemara says, that's interesting. We're allowing you to use something on the sukkah. Lema misayeya leila Rav Ami bar Tivyume. Maybe it's a rayer of Ami bar Tivyume. Amar Rav Ami bar Tivyume. Sochacha bibloik elim psula. Now, these pieces of the bed, you know, they are they've been deconstructed, right? So they're not kli anymore, and they're gidulo min ha'aretz, they're wood. What really is the problem with this, right? So the Gemara says, well, if there is a problem, then it must be that the problem is it came from a kli. And we have a din that something that came from a kli, even though it isn't a kli, is problematic because obviously you might come to use kalim. So, and that was this din. Rav Ami Bar Tivyumi, who held that you're not allowed to do schach with these like rags or these small clothing that's not big enough to be considered a real kli. A clothing is a kli. But you're using them for schach. So he says that's possible. K'tomer Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe Baruch Avashasi Karayim B'Ktzara Avashasi Karayim Hachanami Baruch Avashasi Karayim B'Ktzara Avashasi Karayim. So the Gemara says. So that sounds like a kasha, right? That sounds like a kasha on. That sounds like a raya to this Ravami, that these things are puzzle. So the Gemara says, no, we might be assuming, like Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe, that what you did with these pieces of bed was, there's actually a picture, you took the piece of bed, and you kind of, against the wall, leaned it up, and using not all the pieces of bed, you constructed something that in theory could be used. In other words, there is a way to use these pieces to make a functional bed. And then the Gemara says you put shasi va'arev rope and you can sort of sit on this part of the bed. So what does that mean? So if you could do that, so then these items are kalim, right? They're not shivrei kalim. They're not pieces of a kli that maybe I'll come to say I'll use the kli. So you could still hold that case may be kosher and this case may be pasul because these pieces could still in theory be used as a kli. Hecha itmar de Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe aha ditznan. So where did we learn this? Where did we come up with this? So the Gemara says we learned it from this Mishnah that mita matmes chavila. A mita is mitame as a unit, umitaheres chavil, and is put in a mikvah as a unit. Dear Rabbi Lazar, chachamim omrim, but how do we paskin? Mitame sevarim and matare sevarim. That the pieces of the mita could also be considered of significance. My nihu, what's an example of the pieces of a mita being significant enough, even though it's not the mita in its entirety? And that's the Gemara's source of this concept. Amar Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe, Arucha v'shasi karayim, Ktsara v'shasi karayim l'may chazya. What could it be used for? What could this mini bed sort of, this construct be used for? L'mis mechinu aguda, you could put it up against the wall. V'lemesa v'layu m'shadi ashla, and you, in order to sit on it, you could weave in the rope. So that means that you could create a scenario where these pieces of bed are significant in and of themselves. And that may be the reason why they are being treated in our Mishnah as schach pasul, even though they're gedulim in aretz, because they are to some degree kalim. They're related to his kalim. And therefore, that position does not necessarily contradict any longer this position of Rabbi Ami Bar Tivyume, that sachacha bivloi kalim are psula. Because it could be that you even hold that those kalim are kshera, the small rags or whatever that you're going to use for schach. Maybe they're kosher. Maybe we're not worried that using something that once came from a kli is gzera atu, you might come to use a kli. We don't let you use the bedposts. We don't let you use the bedposts because in and of themselves, they have the capacity to function as a kli. How could a bedpost function as a kli without the rest of the bed? That's ridiculous. It's just like the small rag from the clothing. The answer is yes, it can. Because if you attach it, lean it against the wall, you put some rope there, you could use it as a semi-chair. So you could use it as a semi-chair. It is a kli. If it is a kli, and that's why it's mitame and it's mitire in different sections. If it's a kli, so then that's the reason why it's considered pasul, and it no longer raises questions with the other issue. Okay, that's our daf. A little complicated, right? Back and forth.
Yeah, well...